Today's biggest stories, tomorrow's newsmakers in the capital city. Your host is Michael Cohen for the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And good evening. Welcome to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. On today's show, the tasers are coming. The state Senate passing a bill that would allow for concealed weapons permit holders to also carry a taser. And while there is bipartisan support for the legislation, is it really a good idea? I'll talk to the sponsor of the bill. And Michigan is the only state in the country that gives drug makers complete immunity from lawsuits if consumers are harmed. A recent case rejected by the state Supreme Court reflecting this law. Why do we give pharmaceutical companies a pass? I'll find out. But first, after 12 years under Mark Gaffney, the Michigan AFL-CIO now has a new president. Carla Swift elected to the post on Monday. She's a lifelong trade unionist and now leads the organization affiliated with unions that represent about 350,000 active members. So what's ahead for the group? To find out, I'm joined by Carla Swift. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Michael. It's good to be with you.
Now, it seems that unions are under more pressure now than ever with things like right-to-work legislation under consideration at the Capitol. How concerned are you about right-to-work being passed, and would that necessarily have a negative impact on the unions?
Well, Michael, I'm glad you asked about that. So-called right-to-work, or better named right-to-work for less legislation, it isn't about helping workers, and it certainly isn't about creating jobs. It's about politics, plain and simple. You know, there's some Lansing politicians, and they're moving an agenda for their corporate special interests, and it's really a power grab, you know, that's going to weaken the middle class. In fact, today there was a bill introduced in the Senate, a so-called right-to-work law, that exclusively targets certain teachers, and it's just the latest outrageous power grab by extreme politicians. It's not going to do anything to create jobs or help our kids succeed. And Lansing, you know, really could be better focused on attacking our state's unemployment problem instead of attacking school students and teachers.
You know, supporters of right to work say that unions have changed since the early years of the labor movement and that they're now highly bureaucratic. Are they wrong to say that?
Well, you know, workers are the workers make up the union, right? So the union is the workers, and workers make decisions through their collective voice. And decide who they want to represent them. They decide through a democratic and rational process of voting on what their contract ought to contain. And they ratify their contract, just like we saw recently at UAW-GM, and we're going to see in the next few days at UAW-Ford. They then, through special or through regular elections, I should say, you know, elect new representatives if they want, and they can even decide they no longer want the, you know, to have a collective bargaining relationship with their employer, and they can vote to, you know, decertify the union. So,
but right to work would allow for all that, right? The only difference is right to work would give workers the option of paying or not paying the dues to the unions, which they could continue doing if they chose to.
Well, that's right, and they can, and there are laws in place now on both the federal and the state level that allow workers to opt out of union membership. So it's already available, and you know, the claim that this will give workers more choice just isn't, you know, just doesn't hold water. Workers already have a significant amount of choice, and that's what having a collective bargaining relationship and the democratic process that puts that in place is all about.
Don't workers, though, isn't it mandatory to pay dues if you're part of the union?
That's something that can be negotiated in a collective bargaining agreement. It's not negotiated in every collective bargaining agreement.
I'm talking to the new president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, Carla Swift. Now, the emergency financial manager law, you know, it's being challenged in courts, but advocates maintain that for emergency financial managers to be able to throw out contracts to save a municipality from bankruptcy is an essential part of what they might have to do. What is a municipality supposed to do when it's faced with a massive deficit and it's not able to rework its contract agreement with workers?
Well, I think that the more critical question about the emergency manager legislation is that they can essentially throw out the elected officials that have been, again, democratically elected by members of the community to represent them on the city council, and so it really is another power grab and overreach that results in people losing their democratic rights.
Isn't the major concern of unions, though, the fact that they could now wipe out these contracts, though?
It is a concern that it's another way to attack workers and circumvent the rights that workers rightfully have under state law, and it's another example of time that Lansing is spending on something that doesn't have anything to do with creating jobs, while we have a state that has a jobs crisis.
You know, Governor Rick Snyder is now back from his trade mission to the Far East last week, and that trip, of course, included China. When state officials talk about increasing trade with the communist country, does that concern you? Is that guaranteed bad news for Michigan workers, in your opinion?
Well, if it's fair trade, it's something that is good for all of us. But if it's free trade without any protections for workers, and it just allows the same old outsourcing of even more jobs and protections for corporations that want to ship work off to the lowest bidder on the global stage, then that is that's something that hurts all of us. That hurts workers, and it hurts local economies, and it hurts our state.
You know, Chinese workers are now manufacturing more and more technically complicated things, computer parts, electronic parts. How is our labor force here in Michigan really going to be able to compete with them in the long term?
Well, I think we've seen a number of high-tech companies choose Michigan in the last few years for new battery technology and some other high-tech manufacturing types of work. And they're choosing Michigan because it has a high-skilled workforce. You know, the high-tech companies are really looking for high-skilled workforce, they're looking for good public school systems, and they're looking for good research universities. And we have those things in Michigan. And I think the 2010 New Economy Initiative report was very clear about the choices that companies are making and how they're basing their choices.
You know, there's been so much criticism of the Republican approach here in the state to draw more business to Michigan, including the fact that they're lowering the tax rate for small businesses. Although, what other approach really could work when it comes to getting companies to come to the state when we are competing against so many other states that are doing the exact same thing?
Well, I think, again, it's the things that I mentioned. It's the skilled workforce. It's the high-quality research universities and good public school systems. And it's also the infrastructure. You know, companies indicate that they want to locate where there's good transportation and where they have where they're in close proximity to suppliers and where there are good public structures that support what they need to be successful in business. So I think investing in not divesting, but investing in schools and in roads and in the other kinds of public structures that make for strong communities in a strong state are the kinds of things that companies are looking for. You know, look, companies use they use the roads that taxpayers are paying for. So if we aren't going to invest in those things and be, you know, sort of business climate ready, and we're going to cut taxes so that we aren't able to invest in those things, and we're not going to require, you know, corporations to pay their fair share and share in the responsibility for the things that that they're going to use too, like roads and schools. Then, you know, we're setting ourselves up for a shortfall when it comes to economic recovery.
Carla Swift, the newly elected president of the Michigan AFL-CIO, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.